This is A-OK, written by Cora49, read by Mistborn Hero, a Batman perfect, rated for general audiences, featuring the characters Dick Grayson, Duke Thomas, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Stephanie Brown, Barbara Gordon, Cassandra Cain. It is tagged for Alternate Universe, Leverage, Con Artists. Gotham belongs to one man. His name is B. He mostly runs long cons, and he mostly runs with the same crew. B stands for Boss. It also stands for Bruce, for those in the know, and nobody gets a cut of this city without his say. And he says no in just about as many words. But word on the street is this. The B-man is out of town, and the kids are left all on their own. Dick likes to play this game with all the newbies that join the crew. He calls it Trustfall. And then he's hurtling himself at the newbie from a height of way too fucking high without a line. Decidedly, this is also precisely why Dick is most definitely not in charge when B is gone at stern instructions from the man himself. Duke catches him, only barely, face twisted into an expression of barely contained horror, gets the two of them tangled in one line. Duke's hand a death grip around Dick's ankle and nothing else. It appears like some kind of miracle that they are both alive, hanging by a taut pulled string. It isn't. It is a calculated risk, banking on Dick's ability to read Duke's every last tell, and of course, it is also a well-placed bet on Duke's reaction time. Upside down, Dick is grinning at him. "Knew you had it in you," Dick says, even if he doesn't, not in any measurable quantity at least. But the trick to a good lie is that there is always a part of the truth wrapped up within it. Everything else that comes after can be a little blurry. Some are lighter in tones than others, but the line they each walk is colored in gray. Duke is just getting to know this, but here is the no for those in the know. Not for those that knows a guy that knows a girl from losing a game of three-card Monty on a bench in Robinson Park, who says she knows B in some vague sense of the letter while she whistles a little rhyme about finding the queen. She's got diamonds dressed up as glass jewelry and a purr to her R's like that isn't the first clue to give her away all on its own. Some call them the meanest crew this side of the Atlantic, if they dare to tell their version of the story at all. B runs with the same crew for most cons, even when the man specializes in the game of the long con. He runs a tight crew, and if his crew consists mostly of children, well, they all have to start somewhere, don't they? Dick came first. He's a grifter in any other name, but he calls himself an actor. Jason came next, and Jason is a thief turned, a better thief when his sticky fingers snag at all the right wallets in all the best dressed suits. Then it is Tim who takes right after B, a mastermind behind what has to be some very elaborate cons. even without the jeers to his name. Somewhere along the way, there is Barbara, then Cass, and Barbara is a hacker as much as Cass is a hitter. In some short, brisk words, they are good. In a few more words, they are damn near too good. After that, it is Stephanie and Damien and now Duke, who has just passed some kind of audition to join B's crew without the B. It is an R, they do not say. It takes both Cass and Jason to untangle Dick from Duke from the line the two of them are suspended from, and if Duke is not crazy about heights, he is not about to let that show now. So, what are we supposed to be? Duke asks from the solid, albeit rocky ground he is now standing on when he finally talks free. A bunch of modern-day Robin Hoods? We usually call ourselves Robin for short, Steph supplies with a shrug, glancing up from where Tim and her are mapping out their way further into this cave they are in, tracking their progress with faint, rough scratches of white chalk against the rocky surfaces, and it looks near non-existent unless you look close enough, but nobody ever does. But yeah, that's the point. So, Duke grunts out as he tightens his grip on the duffel bag of pickaxes that has changed multiple hands to end up in his. What are we really doing here? Hearing the echo that follows each step they tread while they head deeper within, Duke tries again for an answer that is actually an answer instead of every non-answer they have given him to lead him nose first into some deep, dank caves. Barbara's instructions take them through narrow paths and passages that no longer match the paper map that Steph had a couple turns previous. The cave around them looks dark, looks vast, looks like it could become something of a diamond mine if they dress it up a little. Tim stops at the front of their little excursion, looking forward at a nice dead end. He turns back to them and answers with a gesture for Duke to drop the duffel bag to the ground at their feet, and in the light of their lousy headlamps, Tim's grin is all teeth. Would you believe me if I said we're spelunking? Mind you, they are not. No matter how much Dick is looking like he's more than a little eager to throw himself off another deep end, safety net seemingly a non-existent concept to the man. It isn't an exact formula, but a good con comes together all the same. It all starts with a bad man. Usually, he is in a position of power and wealth. They each play a part. Sometimes it takes a week to hook the mark in. Sometimes it takes a month. But the rule of the con stays the same. You can't con an honest man. It is a good thing there is a whole lot of greed in this city alone to keep them all busy. And they are busy with a capital B. Duke resigns himself to picking up one of the pickaxes to start. And here is the plan. There are some minor details to be ironed out, but Tim's grin and the dark shadows that circle that claim in those eyes just about says it all. As they work, Jason grumbles the entire time why Marks can't just be happy with being handed a fake diamond these days. Oh no, it is a whole diamond mine or nothing. Barbara laughs from the calm in their ears, while Steph just laughs in his face. Cass isn't laughing, but she might as well be. When the job is done and the mine literally goes crumbling down around the very bad man, Dick calls it poetic justice. Jason tells him to read a book. Bea comes home and doesn't even ask them to get rid of the full collapsed diamond mine. And Robin, as a collective whole, might go as far as to call the man proud. The end. Thank you for listening. I love this little bat family being a leverage style crew because I have an undying love for leverage and everything in that fandom. And I don't know, it's adorable to think of them as the leverage crew. I mean, obviously not a one-to-one equivalency, but it's neat because Dick, as the main grifter, is obviously still a ton more acrobatic than Sophie. And so he's like a mix of Sophie and Parker with Sophie's people senses and Parker's acrobatics. And Jason is grumpy and headcanoned to Cook. And like be gruff but affectionate like Elliot. And he's probably a hitter, but I figure he's also a very good grifter. And also he's got theatrics down. I think Tim as a mastermind is kind of like Hardison as a mastermind in the beginning. So like overreaching, you know, the job when, you know, it's actually the one with the mines. I mean, the treasure hunt, yeah, the treasure hunt where he overshoots how much the mark can be manipulated and the mark feels manipulated, but by the time this con with Duke comes around, he's probably got a handle on it, which is neat. Cass as the hitter, yes, thank you. But yeah, I think they'd all be a mix of grifters and hitters, and I love it a lot. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed, and please remember to drink some water today. A bat fan leverage. A Batman perfect. Deep dank cap. Deep dank caves. Diamond man. A diamond mine. After a little excursion.